Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I probably will get canceled for this. I have a beef with Above and Beyond.
Above and Beyond Group Therapy.
I just don't get it. And I also understand that it's not for me. But also, why are they so bad? Like, why do they stop every song after 16 counts and then write text on the screen like a movie computer hacker took over the visuals? And it's like, you're loved. I'm like, what about the music? And I don't get why Gaysians love them so much. And they're like, trans fam. I'm like, oh my God. And I know that saying this will cut off like 75% of my potentially already small dating pool just by being a hater.
You're going to send the haters to make our Spotify.
We're
going to
get a one star on our fucking rating.
The Anjuna Deep family is going to show you, bitch. I don't hate Above and Beyond as much as you do, but I think a funny thing I can do is they always do these shout outs on their like weekly podcast. They're like, oh, this goes out to Vijay in Mumbai, who's training for a marathon. I think I'm going to submit one for you.
Oh, God.
This is from Doncha in San Francisco. She hates us.
Probably going to get even more canceled if I start talking about Fred again, because what the fuck?
Literally Gaysians. Welcome to Literally Gaysians.
Gaysians.
We get real about our feelings and Literally Gaysian stuff. I'm Bao, your host, and here's my co-host and outer saboteur, Chris. How are you feeling, girl? Especially after after this weekend.
Well, as you know, I'm currently hiding from the rain in beautiful Vancouver, visiting friends. And before everyone comes for me, I got it on points. Yes, I know I'm unemployed, but I got bored at home. And I also have not slept all night. So if I start slurring during this recording, I commend you for all the editing that you're going to have to do.
I did realize when you hopped on, I was like, that voice sounds different. How was last night? What was going on? Why are you in Vancouver?
We have some friends here that we met at Kimchi's birthday, actually. And So we're pestering them, their gracious hosts. And it's so cute and quaint here. So I thought San Francisco was really small, but everything's like even smaller here. Like, I went to a concert last night, and it was these internationally renowned DJs playing at a bar that can maybe hold 200 people. I was like, oh, okay. I got all dressed up thinking that was going to be like a concert hall. But I really appreciate it because it was very intimate at these smaller venues. And so everyone was just so happy to be there. But when our crowd left, like, it cleared out the dance floor.
Did you guys leave early?
No, we stayed till the, like, nearly the end. And then I was invited to a home pa, hence why I'm very underslept. The guys here are super hot. Like, oh. I thought, oh, Vancouver boys. I kept thinking, I'm going to go there and meet these hot boys. And they're everywhere. And they're nice. It's, like, so rare.
It's Canadian to meet these. Nice.
Yeah. They're, yeah, like, hot and nice people. I feel like that doesn't usually happen. But then what's funny is that I asked this one guy about dating up here. Mm-hmm. And unprovoked, he brought up Gaysian hierarchies here.
Hierarchies.
Which, like, you know, we keep talking about, and it was unprovoked, and how it really affects his ability to date. So we're probably going to have to talk more about this in the future.
Damn. I think it's so out of our realm of reality, but it's just, like, such a huge issue thing, system, for a lot of Gaysians out there. I mean, when we did that last episode, and Lee brought up the question about hierarchies, and we did that reel, like, it was really interesting to see everyone kind of share it and have, like, their take on it. And I just think, like, for elder millennials like ourselves, that seems like something that has come up, like, recently. It is so pervasive, and for me, because it's not in my reality, I'm like, does this really exist? But it seems like to be a very real thing for people.
I'm seeing so many TikToks pop up about it lately and people stitching it and stitching it. So I guess it's a problem that I'm very oblivious to. What have you been doing with yourself since I last saw you?
So I am in a new era of a lot of things. I've said in the last episode I started dating somebody, but I mean, I started a new job. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of slow rolling that. Yay. I know, but I don't want to talk about it so much because let's get the first paycheck first. And also, who knows? It's capitalism. I think that now we could just kind of just like, they could just lay me off next week or another month. And also, I know a lot of people who went through my similar experience, and you're in it right now, of just like trying to find a job and how hard it is. And some days are harder when you find out someone else got a job. And so that is very new to me right now. I have to be in the office 5 days a week. And so I'm trying to like weekend in Anaheim, weekdays here. And so I am in my friend's like guest house. I'm so mad at myself because I didn't bring my microphone. And so I sound really echoey. The audio is going to be bad and I'm a perfectionist. And so I'm going to hate the way it sounds. And I'm sorry to everyone who has to listen to this. Well, today we're going back for seconds at the Korean all-you-can-eat barbecue for another installment of beef. So it's when we're going to word vomit all the petty beefs that we have with the most random things in our lives. And maybe some deeper beefs that we have, like, you know, with ourselves, our communities, with each other.
Oh, my God. When you told me we were doing this again, I was like, I got a lot to say. I've been taking notes about everything I hate, which I guess I'm very well known for, to be complaining. And we actually did our first one just a year ago, inspired by Beef from Netflix, the miniseries, which won hella awards recently.
I still think that show holds up. I watched the finale again because the finale of that show is so, that first season is so good. I think it's getting a second season. That's kind of controversial right now. But what I did love about the show is that normalizes like millennial, but also Asian rage. And that's exactly what we're going to get into today. Mm-hmm. Rage, grudges, spirals.
Which we do so well at. Yes. But before we do that, we got all these new Patreon folks subscribing. So we got so many since our last shout outs. We got to breeze through them really quickly.
So again, if you want to support our quest to be better D-list amateur podcasters, please subscribe to our Patreon with a paid subscription. It helps us fund the production of this podcast, helps fund this mic that I can't use because I didn't bring the right equipment, but every little cent helps. This is a thank you to the people who have subscribed.
Help us become C-listers.
So these are the people who have subscribed to our Patreon with a paying membership. So if we know you, we're going to guess what you're wearing. And if we're not sure we know you, because some of the names came out kind of weird, we're just going to guess what kind of Asian you are. And Chris, you're going to get the first person, Eric.
Eric, we know you. I think I've known you since you were like a baby at 21. And all I remember you is a backwards baseball cap. You probably have been wearing it for the past 20 years. And I think it's so cute that you think you're still so young.
Okay, my next one is Ed Center. So Ed was a guest on our podcast for the Fatherhood episode last year. We know you. And you're wearing a fitted graphic tee that says, like, decolonize something. Like, decolonize parenthood. Decolonize random system on it. Because you are just such a, our favorite social justice warrior.
Someone came off as Gree. Kind of rings a bell. But my age-addled brain can't seem to remember. My guess is that you're one of those people who walks down the street and kicks dogs. That's all.
You gotta change it. This person just paid for like the full year, I think. Do something nicer.
Pet stocks.
Oh, yes.
Without asking.
Okay. I'm really sorry, Gree. Dag Flyer. D-A-G Flyer. Don't know first name or last name. That sounds more like a Twitch alias. So you're probably a Twitch streamer who plays Valorant. And you probably have like anime spiky hair that you wear a cap on most of the time. And then you have those Huey lights all around you.
Ryan, you're probably the problematic queen bee that creates the Gaijin social hierarchies.
Okay, these are shout-outs and not reads, but I think I like where you're going anyway. It's a episode. Bitch, you're tired. So this
I'm trying to stay in theme. I'm trying to stay in theme.
That read was out of love, Ryan. So thank you, Ryan.
Mark, I'm also drunk. I'm still drinking White Claws.
Oh, I thought that was a Celsius. You should be drinking a Celsius, girl.
No, it's actually a vodka soda. I guess they have these in Canada.
Oh, I wish I had a drink in here. Anyway, okay, Mark. Might know you, but just for fun, we're going to pretend you don't. You're like the Instagram thirst trap that gets into HomePods without trying. So some of the hot guys that were at the HomePod Doncha was at yesterday, you're probably like three compliments away from launching an OnlyFans. Just three compliments.
Jermaine is definitely wearing a flannel shirt to that sweaty ass club that we went to, and you don't take it off. I commend you for that.
Okay, next is Stern, and it says Simon, and I'm gonna say the last name that was like not an Asian last name. So you're either a super hot mixed race Asian or a rice queen. Moving on.
Clark is another subscriber that we know and love, and he's wearing a t-shirt that says, please leave my house by 9 o'clock.
Okay, we're almost done. Eric, and Eric has been referenced on this podcast a million times, but we know you. You're wearing black joggers with a black fitted t-shirt from Uniqlo, because that's what Techno House DJ uniforms are made of.
And you have been wearing it for 2 days in a row.
Yes, because you didn't sleep.
Mm-hmm. Tim also hasn't slept and is holding his electric fan to cool himself off at this very moment as he listens to this podcast.
Yes, right next to his CPAP machine. And last, it's Adam. Hey, CPAP representation. Adam. And it's Adam Baker who made the music for this podcast. So we're just going to say your name. We know you. You're wearing the hiking pants and hiking shoes, but like out to the club.
And they have cargo pockets on it because
yes, definitely.
Utility. Don't forget to subscribe to our Patreon and we can throw some more shade at you.
Thank you for everyone that we just mentioned who subscribed to our Patreon. Chris, are you ready to get beefy with it?
Yes, let's start complaining.
All right, let's get into some beef. This is how it's going to work. We're just going to bring up random beefs. We're just going to be haters. We're just going to be shady and then talk about it. And I think, Chris, you're going to have to go first because you're really good at this. What, who, where do you have beef?
Okay, my first beef is a dance floor sex. Okay, everyone knows I'm not a prude, or maybe I am. But as, you know, prep has become more popular and mainstream, there's so much middle of the dance floor sex going on. And I want to be clear, middle of the dance floor sex. Like, I can't walk 10 feet at a party in San Francisco without tripping over someone getting railed on the dance floor. Like, just stay to the walls or go to the dark room. Like, every party has these dark rooms here. Like, why do you have to do it? And I think I actually kicked the dick out of someone's mouth once because I didn't see them. And then just like last week, someone was telling me about how he was having sex on the dance floor at the Deborah Cox concert. Like, who does that? Like, when did he come? During Nobody's Supposed to Be Here or It's Over Now? Maybe during the crescendo of Same Script, Different Cast. I just like, just go somewhere else. You have Grindr. Go to their house. I don't get it.
I love how you're like, why are you fucking here? Nobody's supposed to fuck here. That's going to be your drag version of it.
Real bad last year, I was watching the DJ over the rail. Someone pushed me aside so he could hold the rail to get fucked. I was like, anywhere else? He literally pushed me over. I'm like, come on.
I mean, there was a time when I was young, but now they're gone. No, sorry. Mostly because I did enjoy dance floor sex in my 30s. I mean, I guess I'm still 30. I mean, I haven't done that in a long time, but there's something just wrong about it that is like liberating. But
yeah, I get.
Yes, if I can, like, if I'm rolling and I'm just in my body and not in my mind, and like, you know, like being self-conscious and everything, I can just let go and it's sort of like a fuck you to that part of me. But then sometimes your mind comes back. It's like, oh, is Arthur watching? Are my friends watching me right now? Like, are they judging me because of that? So then it just comes back. I also think it's because, like, if you follow, like, if you have your porn Twitter or, like, porn people on Twitter, they're always doing that. that was like, here, we're at a circuit party, just sucking dick. Here, me be getting railed on the cruise on the dance floor. And it's like, you know, when you see an image and like an idea has been planted in your head and you just go and do it. And I think that's why you're just seeing a lot more of it recently, too, in addition to like prep.
Yeah, it's hot. Just stay near the wall. Or I'm going to kick the dick out of your fucking mouth again.
Also, if you're bottoming, it's sort of hard to be in a position where you're not going to get your hole wrecked. If that makes any sense.
Well, especially
or maybe, or maybe I'm not doing well. Sorry. Yes, the height.
The height differences.
Yeah, I don't know. You gotta audition your dance floor sex partners to be like almost like similar height, I guess.
Yeah. What, even better, find the sofa. That's where you can do it.
Yeah.
Much more comfortable.
Better for your knees. And at this age, that's all I care about.
This is what we think about now.
Yeah. Okay. My beef turn. I have beef with the fucking Joy Luck Club.
Oh my God. The most beloved Asian American movie.
Hear me out. Because believe it or not, so I watched the Joy Luck Club for the first time last year. Because like people were like, what? You have, no, 2 years ago, 2022. They're like, you've never watched Joy Luck Club. We had just finished Folsom weekend, so I was coming down. And we're like, perfect movie to get a good cry out, right? And so I really enjoyed it when I watched it that time. And last night, I decided to watch it with, let's just say, someone. In preparation for your show this week, because we're going to go to your show. So the Rice Rockettes have a show this week. I would promote it, a show in LA this week, but I'm going to see Doncha with Jenny Yang. I would promote it more, but by the time you listen to this episode, it'll be far gone. But we were watching it in preparation for your show. So I don't think I really need to explain what Joy Luck Club is, but just to set up like why I have beef with Joy Luck Club. It's basically a movie or a book about like four pairs of mother-daughter Chinese people in America, four elder Chinese immigrant women. So they're immigrants. So they like had lived in China, went through all this trauma in China. And then their conflicts and tensions with their like 30-year-old Chinese American daughters who were born in America. So they deal with like different types of issues as like young Asian American women. And my beef is with this storyline between this mother-daughter pair of Ying Ying and Lena. So Ying Ying is the mom in China who like married a really hot guy, Russell Wong, played by Russell Wong.
The watermelon moment.
Yeah, the watermelon moment. He still is like classically gorgeous in that role. And he's like cheating on her left and right. They have a child together. And she gets so worked up and crazy about him cheating that she fucking decides to drown her own son. Like her own like toddler son. And how they connect it to her daughter in the present day of the movie, 1993, and what her daughter's going through. She married a guy who was too cheap, and so he wants to split the ice cream, but she doesn't eat ice cream. And Ying Ying is just trying to pass along all the trauma and healing she's done to help her daughter. And I just, because I watched it again with someone who was watching it for the first time, I just realized, how fucking stupid is that storyline?
It's like, unhinged.
It's unhinged. Like, are we supposed to just forget? Like, as if like
she murdered a child?
I'm like, why isn't she in jail? Did they ever just explain, why is she not in jail? How did she get to America? And why out of all things, I don't even remember the lesson she taught Lena, which is basically like, hey, stand up for yourself. Because
leave this crooked house.
Leave this crooked house. That house was so ugly. Anyway, the daughter just never asked about the baby who died. I don't know. There's just so much
unresolved. Wait, did she not tell her? It doesn't make sense. It's kind of like a really disastrous moment in her life that she hides.
And I realized this because I was watching that with that someone, and he just couldn't get over it after. Like, wait, she killed her son? And it just makes no goddamn sense. And the movie's ruined for me now.
But, like, I think it's a lot of people's, like, the first watch, you cry. And the second watch, I watch it with friends all the time, and we just laugh the entire way through. And one time, we went to a screening, and Tamlin Tamita was there to talk about it, and we're in the back row laughing their asses off, and like the white people that were in the row in front of us kept glancing back at us with dirty looks. I'm like, she killed her baby. Why aren't you laughing?
Next beef. What's your next beef?
Husbands who have boyfriends who have husbands. I gotta start that over. I'm so clogged up.
I'm gonna leave that in there.
Okay, let me do that over. Because I am still drunk. Husbands who have boyfriends who have husbands whose husband also has a boyfriend that go on vacations together with other husbands and their boyfriends. And I'm
okay,
not.
That sounds too much. You're like, you're embellishing the hell out of that.
I'm embellishing, but not really. The reason I'm saying this is because, like, I was going on Instagram and someone's like, you know, he's married. I was like, but he's on vacation with this guy for the past, like, 2 months. And you click on the little, you know, they got the wedding ring with the two guys emoji and then who they're married to. And then I clicked on that. And he is on vacation with this other guy, you know. And I clicked through there, and he is married to somebody else. I was like, you last year were swearing off of, you know, not dating wanting to date single guys, right?
Yes.
It's even worse now. It's like they're not even single. They're just all the couples are together. And it's like this, the polyamory thing is just blowing up. I'm so over it. Am I jealous? Maybe. So I have no one to swear off of because there's just nobody left to date. There's like nobody left to date.
I know. I mean, you do have to swear off the guys with boyfriends because very easily you end up in a situationship. And as a very wise person on TikTok once said, a situationship is a situation for one person and nothing to the other person.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're probably not the main one at this point.
And you're going to wish you were. And you can continue to take any sign of love bombing they're doing as signs that maybe he will leave his husband and you will get to be promoted. It's Joyla Club. Be promoted to the first wife. But no, it is modern day men feeling like they can just do whatever their impulses want. And so and I know that's like just a fun shady read at it. I'm sure there are like very deep, meaningful connections happening.
Yeah, I'm sure they're happy, and I'm happy for them, but it leaves me very unhappy.
And very single, and I've been there for sure. Yeah. Mostly I'm like, read the room, because some polyamorous people and like husbands and open relationship couples suck up so much energy of a room sometimes, or like of a club sometimes, trying to find that third, preventing single people from meeting other single people. And because of that, the single people never get to meet the single people. And so they're always just going to be a cameo guest in some other relationship and never kind of working on the, like, finding the depth and intimacy with another person that they deserve. So read the room, stop taking the oxygen out of it. Let single people meet other single people. Let them find the intimacy that you already fucking have.
So that we can start. And don't take away from that. So that we can start finding our third party friend. Let me get a piece of this.
Let me at least work on the first, and so we can get to the third in a couple years. Jesus Christ. Okay, my beef. I have beef with this stupid girl in front of me at Hang Hang Chicken Rice in Hollywood last night.
That's so specific.
Okay, so Hang Hang Chicken Rice is a new like viral TikTok place. It was delicious. Anyway, I get there first. We're right at the same time. Long line of Asian people. Good sign. That's good food, right? A long line of Asian people. And there's a line. There's a wait. And there's a wait list to put something down. And then she sees me walking toward it. She rushes. She like sprints for it. So she can get there before me. Low-key cutting. And you know how I feel about cutting in lines. And I'll get into that. But I was already annoyed. And then she just
I've been in a line with you when you're so upset.
I get so upset in line. I need to work on it. But whatever. I just have beef with it right now. So she just stands there in front of like the list, for like 90 seconds before I'm like, excuse me, are you gonna put your name down? And then she's like, there's no pen. And I'm like, what's that? It was, the pen was just dangling from a string from the wait list. And she's like, oh, sorry. And I was just like, I rolled my eyes at her. I'm my worst. I cannot control my fight or flight response when people do this. Anyway, she finally puts her name down, and now I'm like, so you rushed to get in front of me. You took 90 seconds of my time, and now I have to let you go in front of me and wait 5-10 minutes for my own seat. Like, I just have beef with any line like that, because any line I'm in, I just become the worst version of myself, because people do not know how to act in line.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, people don't see a line and they just cut in front of it. Like, at In-N-Out, this one woman with two kids. Okay, I know you're a woman with two kids. There's a fucking line here. There's a line here. And she just walks up right next to me. I'm like, ma'am, there's a line here. She's like, oh, sorry. Okay, I know people make mistakes. But fucking read the room. You have eyes. When we were at the BNP Paribas tennis tournament, which is formerly problematically known as the Indian Wells tennis tournament.
Wait, that was the one that was racist.
To Serena Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They decided a clean slate. Let's just change the name of it. But it was really fun because, you know, my family loves tennis. But to get into the matches, you have to get in line first come, first serve. And we were in that line for 20 minutes, and we get close to, like, getting into, like, the court to get a seat. And then this woman has, like, her mom and dad join in front of us.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm annoyed. Because she's like, sorry, can my parents join? They were like, they looked older. They're like, sorry, they were just getting me food. And they look older. I'm like, fine. 2 minutes later, 3 more people from the family join. And then 2 more people join. And then the guy in front of me, that I'm like pissed at this point. And the guy like picks up the phone and they're like, oh yeah, just come here. We're almost in the front. And
I lost
went
it.
Off. And I literally said, how many more ancestors are you inviting in line to cut in front of me?
You did not.
The word ancestors just came out. I'm like, you're inviting your whole fucking, everyone on your 23andMe relative list? Like, who the fuck is going to? And I was like, you're already 10 people. Whoever comes needs to go behind the line just like everyone else. And then he was like, okay, well, damn. Like, oh, so annoying. And the most annoying line I've ever been was White Party Bangkok 2020. It was terrible. The thing is, I hate when people with 10 people try to cut in line because they know you. You know, like, have you ever been in line and you see this big group coming? It's like, oh, no, I know him. And then you just try to look at your phone and not make eye contact. That did not matter in White Party Bangkok. People were trying to cut left and right. It was so, it made me so fucking pissed that I was, like, mean to my actual friends. So
you,
I kind of want to, like,
act like that we aren't those people.
When that happens, I so don't want to do it. And you all just forced me to do it.
Yeah, I feel bad, but I'm not waiting an hour in line.
And then what am I going to do? Like, go stand in the back of myself? That just looks ridiculous, but it's because no one just obeys the rules. No one knows how to act in line. And because of the system I'm in, of oppression that I'm in, I have to go and make the situation worse because I'm with you guys. But... that's the beef I have. People who don't know how to act in line. Especially that girl, Hang Hang Chicken Rice.
That's right, because one of my earlier beefs was I hate, like, weird little restaurants that have, like, unique little bakery items, and there's a block-long line of young Asian people looking for the trendiest food. It drives me insane. I don't fucking want a donut croissant after waiting an hour in line. Like, who cares?
Yeah. I will wait in line for some things. A Courage bagel is one of those things, but if I can, outsmarting the line makes me so happy. Like, if I hacked the line fairly, then I feel like life is, like, my life goals are accomplished. The same way
like
I feel
you
about beating
traffic.
Like, you pay an
old Chinese lady to wait in line for you?
Maybe. Okay, what's your next beef?
Oh, God. I probably will get canceled for this. I have a beef with Above and Beyond.
Above and Beyond Group Therapy.
I just don't get it. And I also understand that it's not for me. But also, why are they so bad? Why do they stop every song after 16 counts and then write text on the screen like a movie computer hacker took over the visuals? And it's like, you're loved. I'm like, what about the music?
And like, they've been doing it for like 10 years. They haven't changed their act at all. They've been doing the same thing since our EDC 2013.
And I don't get why Gaysians love them so much. And they're like, trans fam. I'm like, oh my God. And I know that saying this will cut off like 75% of my potentially already small dating pool just by being a hater.
You're going to send the haters to make our Spotify.
We're
going to
get a one star on our fucking rating.
The Anjuna Deep family is going to show you, bitch.
But just FYI, I went to an Anjuna Deep concert last night. I'm glad it wasn't Above and Beyond.
Was the Anjuna Beat concert in the small bar?
In the bar. Yes.
Wait, they had an Anjuna Beat artist in a small bar?
That's what I'm talking about. Things are smaller here. Like, huge. They had 5 DJs there, and there was probably more staff than the people who fit in there.
I don't hate Above and Beyond as much as you do, because I really did like their Group Therapy album. And for some reason, when I run, that's the kind of music just keeps me going. But I think a funny thing I can do is they always do these shout outs on their like weekly podcast. They're like, oh, this goes out to, you know, Vijay in Mumbai, who's training for a marathon, and he listens to us. I think I'm going to submit one for you.
Oh, God.
This is from Doncha in San Francisco. She hates us.
You. Oh, my God.
Well, fuck you too, Doncha.
Probably going to get even more canceled if I start talking about Fred again, because what the fuck?
Oh, Fred, I like Fred again.
Also, talking during the set. That Coachella we went to, I thought someone took over the microphone and started talking and trying to kick us out. But no, it's some uplifting quote. I don't get it.
I do think sometimes it's like, oh my God, what is happening? How am I this successful? Like, act is just so stupid sometimes. This is a wild, insane. Oh, he's just like so excited. Shut up. Like, you're not. You know what you're doing. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, he's good. Like, he's a great artist. I just don't want to listen to him.
Yeah. Okay, this is my last beef. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's my last beef. Okay. Well, we were kind of on a fun kick, but I'm going to get really serious now.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize I was going to be serious. Because this beef is with myself. Maybe it's not that serious. Okay, myself, and it's with my internalized bottom shame.
Oh. You've talked about this before.
Yes. Yes. It's so pervasive, my internalized bottom shame. Bottom shaming being, like, I like to bottom, and so, but I'm kind of ashamed with it. I think I'm less than every other gay man who can be verse or top. And I've just, like, convinced myself I'm this person. Like, I only bottom that, like, I've rarely topped in my life. And I feel like I just, like, went through life with this tunnel vision. I just lived a bottom's life, which is going to be the name of part one of my memoir. The first few chapters of my memoir, A Bottom's Life. And so I was just hooked up with top or verse people. Or verse people who, like, felt like topping. And I only watched porn to get off on it from, like, the bottom's point of view.
Mm.
And when I was dating, I would swipe left on people who put like verse or not even talk to people who are other bottoms.
She got
on
that
dating
filter
apps.
On.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You can put the filter on like in Grindr, but not on like Hinge or Tinder. Because I just didn't. I in my mind, I was like, oh, we're not compatible. That's just why I work through this. But also, I was like, I just think I'm not going to be able to satisfy. It was a feeling that I'm not going to be good enough for them because I can only bottom. Like, in the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to make them happy. Like, I'm just not enough for them. Like, it was like, and I'll tell you why I started thinking about this. I don't want to get into it, but someone pushed me on it, like someone I cared about. And then I totally just like froze and went to like fight or flight mode. They basically asked like very simple, oh, do you only bottom? And I was like, oh, this is one of the, and I realized like, oh, this is a sensitive question for me because I can tell how like my body's reacting. And then they're like, do you bottom because you really just only love bottoming, or do you feel like you won't be good at topping?
Oh, that's actually a really good question.
And I was like, yes, it was. And I was like, yes, yes, that's a good question, because I was gagged. Like, I had no words. I was speechless. I have a fucking podcast. It's very rarely that I have no words. And I couldn't wrap my head around the question because I realized, like, I never thought of it that way. And I actually needed, like, a few days to process it and realize, like, I've had so many urges to top over the years, but I would just repress them and be like, that's not for me. Who wants that from you? No one wants that from you. And recently, I've been trying a few new things in bed, and for some reason, like, my top energy has been set free. And it's very strange and very fucking hot. And it was so surprising to the person I was with. But to me, in the moment, I was like in a trance and possessed. You know, like, I don't know what overcame me. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just like possessed with
that primal urge. The primal urge. And I'm like,
where was this? What is going on? I can't explain it. I don't think I need to explain it. And what I've realized is I've just kind of been feeding this whole narrative about me. And then, you know, like, you read things on the internet, like, you know, bottom's never going to top up, like, you know, these, like, little jokes and memes, that I've just let that keep me, like, boxed in this place where I felt, like, safe and comfortable. Like, it's not a pretty damn good bottom. And so my beef is with myself for trapping myself in this, like, idea of myself in bed, but also not because that's just me, more because if I was ashamed of things, I thought I would just be not good enough for people. And this year has been shedding a lot of that. And this was like one of those bombs that kind of went off last week where I was like, okay, this is intense, but I didn't realize all these feelings were there. And for some reason, being able to process it, like, set something else free. So this was a little bit more serious one, but, like, my beef was with myself for all those years trapping myself into thinking I was only a bottom. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm not going to be, like, the power top of the year. But
she's a verse bottom now. Verse bottom.
Yes. Let's move up to that. Let's take it in chunks. Move up to verse bottom now.
It's so funny you say that, because I think when I first started having sex, I would bottom because I think at that time there was a lot of bottom shame. So I was like, whatever. If these people are so scared of bottoming, just let them top free because they're just such bad bottoms. But all that changed for me because, you know, I started getting them hemorrhoids. So I'm like, oh, let's get to topping. But, oh, girl, I started feeling for that, maybe get into that bottom thing again. And I got a ruggable, those washable carpets, just like 3 weeks ago. And things didn't go so well, so I had to wash that carpet.
Oh. Thank God. Thank God it was washable. Thank God it's a ruggable. Thank God you didn't go to West Elm for that shit.
But he had the audacity to want to keep going, and he used my own T-shirt to wipe things up. I'm like, you picked up your shirt, put it down, then picked up my shirt to wipe up?
Don't you have towels? Why are we using clothing?
I mean, we're on the floor. I said the rug. We're on the rug. It was not cute.
Yeah. Well, it happens. Shit happens.
like John Kang and Kim Chi said, well, shit in your dick.
But bottoms rights at the same time.
Yep. I took their advice. That was my right to shit on his dick. Oh, God, please edit that out later.
This is a good time to take a break.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Now let's do a quick fire challenge, like on Top Chef, with our beef. That is, let's just spend like 5 to 10 seconds maybe on some random beefs. Chris, you go first. What's your first random beef?
Okay, I have a beef with modern Asian parents, like these new millennial parents that say I love you to their kids. And it's because I'm jealous.
Yeah, we never got that. Look at all this therapy we had to go through. And now they're just going to go out there and like stand up to white people at an earlier age. I'm so jealous. My beef is with my dad. So, you know, I'm like living with him. Mm-hmm. My beef is with my dad going through my trash.
What is he doing with it?
He's going through my trash because he's a fucking hoarder, an immigrant hoarder. And I was like, why are you looking through my trash? He's like, you throw away these bottles of things and I could use them to put like dishwashing detergent,
buttons
and laundry detergent. It's like little like snail mucin things. And I'm like, Dad, we're not in that life anymore. Why are you looking through things? And so now I'm like very self-conscious about what I throw away. There's nothing sexual or any weird things. And even then I'm like, whatever. I'm like almost 40 years old. Who gives a shit? And that's awkward for him, not awkward for me. But he just needs to stop looking through my fucking trash.
I have a huge beef with pretty privilege. You know who I'm talking about. That's it. Y'all know who I'm talking about.
Right? I have beef with everyone at my new company who can't spell my last name.
Okay, how hard is that at this point
in
time?
It's literally in the system. I'm emailing you, and it says my name. Why you always got to mix the Y and the G of Nguyen? You're already scared that you're going to misspell it. So take some time to spell it right. Ugh, fuckers.
I will say for 20 years, I always said Nguyen.
So it's fine.
Terrible.
Because some Vietnamese people just like did that, so people would... It would be easier for people, but don't misspell it. Anyway, what's your beef?
I have a beef with Netflix canceling Brother Son.
I know.
It's like, come on. With Jenny Yang in it, who I'm going to be on a show with.
Yes, in a few days. Okay, my beef is with all the fucking dead rats in Koreatown in Los Angeles. Like... Why is it a fucking dead rat graveyard? When I was in my sabbatical, when I lived in K-Town, I'm just trying to, like, live, laugh, love, eat, pray, love, whatever. Middle of the day, walk to my hot yoga class. But I have to encounter at least 5 to 10 dead rat carcasses. And I'm just trying to understand why they're dead. Is it the cats eating them? Is it that they run around and then, like, the cars just run over them? But why do I need to, on a daily basis... see rat innards spilled on Wilshire Boulevard. Like, I just don't need that. And that needs to just go away.
I don't know if that's worse than when I drove by this Chinatown restaurant in SF and rats were sitting at the chairs, like one at a time, like they were having dinner together.
No way. Which fucking place was this?
I don't know. It was late at night, and I was just like, look inside. They're just having a little kiki.
Yeah. God, I realize I'm cussing so much because this episode is going to be riled up. So we gotta bleep that. We want to be on YouTube. Okay, your next beef.
I hate DJs that sing on top of their music at their set. They're like scatting for an hour. Nobody wants that.
You ain't no jazz club. This ain't Billie Holiday. What the fuck? Wait, which was they doing that yesterday?
They were doing it 2 days ago. And they're like, ooh, I wish someone was fucking me on the dance floor and make it better. Ooh. I was like, really?
Oh my God. Yeah, DJ should just be like, is everybody ready to party or whatever?
I don't even like that. I hate DJs that hype themselves up. DJ Khaled!
Oh, he's the worst. Or like, wait, no, Fisher doesn't speak. He just acts crazy. Have you seen a Fisher set? He just like jumps around like a little rat on cocaine. It's really
I think people will give him a pass because he's hot.
Fisher's not hot.
Oh, to each their own.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I feel like an asshole. I have beef with that. Okay, my beef, very random. You're not going to get the reference. My beef is with Trishelle from Traitors. And if you know, you know. Fuck.
Why do gays love Traitors so much?
It's so good. Okay, moving on.
All right. ugly luxury brutalist condo buildings that the China Chinese keep buying up and then nobody lives in them. And that drives the prices up. It's all over Vancouver and San Francisco. There's all these new buildings here built up and back at home, and they're empty. And Chinese people from China don't like to buy anything that's been lived in. They want it brand new, and then they leave it there. They're investments, and it just drives up prices. Mm. And the buildings are ugly.
They're ugly, but we all try to live in it. There's a rent special. Yeah, terrible. Okay, my beef is with people at work. Sorry, work is just like new to me again. People at work who email me to ask if my calendar is up to date so they can book a meeting. Are you in fucking 1990s? The calendar is up to date. Why would it not be up to date? Do I walk around with a non-up-to-date calendar? That's the point of having Google Calendar. And why did you send an extra email to ask me that? That's just, and I have to respond, yes, it's up to date. Just go to my calendar meeting.
Like, don't you see that blocked one that just says blocked? Blocked yes. for personal? Blocked for personal?
Yeah. Exactly. Lunch. Seriously, whose calendar is not up to date? And that person, and created this reality where some people just like believe that people are walking down with up to date. It's so fucking annoying. So I have beef with that. Okay, your next one.
Oh God, these are also very Asian. Shows featuring characters, they're not supposed to speak English, but it's in English for the sake of the viewers. Fine. Do but I then the up? Characters speak in an accent. Why? You're translating it for us. Why do they speak in an accent? It's so weird.
Name the show. What show?
What show that does it well is Warrior, where they do this thing where it pans and then they all just start speaking English for the sake of the viewer. But when there's white people on the show, on screen, and they're talking to them, they're speaking either in Chinese or with the accent, how they would be hearing it. But when they speak to us, they're just speaking in like modern day English. It's beautifully done. But, you know, when they get the accent in there, I'm like, why are you Ching Chong-y right now?
Joy Luck Club, just saying. But that was 1993. That was 30 years ago.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. But they did spill, they spoke Chinese in China, at least.
Yes. But and then they would have an accent when they came over.
Yeah. Wait, remind me again, when the older ladies played Mahjong, did they speak? I feel like they spoke in English to each other, or did they speak in Chinese to each other? I don't remember.
I think they mix it up for the sake of the audience, the viewing audience.
For 1993, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, half of them were Japanese anyways.
the main mom, the best quality crab mom, she's Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. She's a very famous Vietnamese actress. She's actually in The Sympathizer that's coming out. So.
Yeah, but they're all supposed to be Chinese.
I know. And I could tell her English is very different. Her English is very Vietnamese English versus the Chinese English that the other actresses were doing. And some of them were Asian American doing the accents.
Oh. Anyway,
you know what? At least it got made. Okay, my last beef is with fucking David Chang. Why am I cussing so much? David Chang. Why are you trying to gatekeep Chili Crunch when you definitely did not? Why are you trying to be the Asian that gets to own every Asian trend to white people? Like, you don't see me go out there trying to, like, copyright fish sauce.
Ramen.
This is just wrong. And why the hell is he doing that and not being aware enough to notice that the other lawyers on the other end are just going to have this David versus Goliath story? Oh, Dave. Except you're the Goliath and not the David Chang. it's just so annoying, and I just love that the internet is coming for him, and he just needs to cease and desist himself.
Yeah, I don't like his face.
Yeah, he's over. He's out.
Okay, my last one, dating app scams. I die a little bit every time, like, a hot Chinese guy profile messages me, and their profile says, looking for a long-term relationship, and wants to start talking on WhatsApp. I'm like, great. What crypto scam are they going to try to get me into?
Those scams are so sad. They're run by like human trafficking rings.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And a lot of the people who are trafficked are poor people from Vietnam and China. Isn't that crazy?
It's like worse. It's like worse for everyone. It's like not even the, they're not even getting any of the money that they're scamming people for.
Yeah, they're paying out debts. And if like, and they want it to be taken out of that, like, in like slavery, basically, someone has to pay a fee to get set them free. Anyway, wow. Yeah, I hate those. There's scams now on LinkedIn.
I get so many people asking for my resume, and they're totally fake. And I don't know if I should send it, because maybe it is a job. They know my weakness, that I want money.
I know, you can always kind of tell, like on Facebook and on Instagram and on LinkedIn when they're fake. First of all, they're like hot women. Like, I don't give a shit. And then two, they always have that like Asian Facetune filter where like the eyes get all big and then like, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm talking about? Like that.
Yeah. Like too much Botox filter. Completely.
Our friend Loki likes to use this filter, but it's like, they always have like the Loki filter, and all my like family in Vietnam always use that filter too. But then it's that picture, and this is like project manager at something. And then you click on the profile and it's all like well-written bios, but I realize it's all written via AI.
And ChatGPT.
Yeah. Okay. With that, our time is up. So Chris, you are so good at this beef stuff, and you got me like
really
into it. I got
a long list of hateful things to say.
And just to send us off, one last random beef.
Bars that charge cover. Who do you think you are? You're just really trying to keep the cheap Asians out. That's it. You're racist.
I don't think you would like LA at all. All the special nights and stuff, they all charge cover.
Like $20 to get into a bar so you can buy their drinks.
So did they charge cover this weekend? Is that why?
Yes, they did.
This beef is fresh from the weekend. Okay, my last beef. I don't need to explain this at all. I have beef with Awkwafina. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want this to come to bite me in the ass later. But I just have beef with Awkwafina. And we'll wrap up
interview
there.
Her?
But we'll wrap up there. So we'll see you in our next episode. Follow us on Literally Gaysians on all these different social media channels. You know where. But mostly subscribe to our Patreon and pay to support us, please.
And until next time, we'll see you later. Bye. And send us your beefs in our Instagram.
Yes, send us all the beefs. And bye. Thank you.